Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
We're going to look at a very familiar passage of Scripture today, but we're going to look at it in an unfamiliar way. Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. We're going to talk about reaping in joy today. If everyone could go, I'm going to say in quotation marks, soul winning, and the reason I say in quotation marks is that you don't win them. I mean, if you do, then Jesus didn't. I know Proverbs 11:30 says, "He that winneth souls is wise," but when we talk about somebody being born again, that's the job of the Word of God, that's the job of the Spirit of God, that's the job of Jesus Christ. We are simply the messengers. This idea of us going soul winning, you might be very persuasive and might convince somebody to say a prayer. You didn't win that soul. If everyone, I say in quotation marks, could go soul winning, the idea of going out and telling other people about Jesus Christ, if they could do that and reap in joy every time they went, you know what? There would be a lot more Christians laboring in the harvest. Do you understand? The idea is that if you knew that every time you went out, you could catch a fish for Jesus Christ, you'd be going. You'd be going. You'd be going every chance you had. Why? Because reaping is always joyful. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus Christ describes by parables the situation with a shepherd that loses a sheep and finds it, and a woman who loses a piece of silver and finds it. And he says in Luke chapter 15, verse 7, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 persons which need no repentance." Verse 10, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." There's always joy in reaping. But to reap in joy, which is what the text says here, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." To reap in joy, one, that's you, must remember everything that's involved. And the things that are involved are in both of these verses. To reap in joy requires, first of all, that you sow in tears. Psalm 126, verse 5, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." So that tells me something. Sowing is the time of tears. Reaping is the time of rejoicing, but reaping is not what happens when you first go out. Sowing is what happens. And sowing is not a time of joy. It's work. And it's the time of tears. Listen, you can be sure in Paul's ministry that he shed some tears. He mentions in three different places the tears that he shed in the work that he did in the ministry. Acts chapter 20, verse 19, he said, "Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying and weight of the Jews." Many tears. He said to the elders of Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, verse 31, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." He says it again in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. Sowing is the time of tears. And that's why people don't like to do it. Jesus Christ was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. When he came to Jerusalem, at the time of Jerusalem's visitation, and he beheld the city, you know what he did? He wept. He wept. In Luke chapter 19, in verses 41 through 44, when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they're hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. You know, you're going to sow and you're going to show people how to be saved and they're going to turn you down. They're going to reject Jesus Christ. They're going to shut the door in your face. They're going to talk bad behind your back. They're going to fuss with you and argue with you. But I'm going to tell you something. Listen, if you want to reap in joy, then there must be some tearful work done before the rejoicing begins. They that sow in tears reap in joy. You say, well, what kind of tears are these? Mainly tears of compassion. You become so burdened for the salvation of their soul, you become so burdened to see people come to Christ. And when you see them take his name in vain and argue with you about religion and turn him down, it breaks your heart. These are tears of compassion. You say, well, I don't have those. Well, most of us have dry eyes. That's right. Most of us have dry eyes. Perhaps that's why there's not more reaping being done. To reap in joy requires that you sow in tears. But that's not all. To reap in joy requires that you go forth. Look at Psalm 126 and verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth. To reap in joy requires that you go forth. You and I must realize that we are here as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You need to be constantly available to the Holy Spirit to be sent when and where he desires you to go so that you can sow the seed that he wants sown in the hearts of the people he's working on. All right, then, some churches have visitation programs, and for like an hour or two each, whatever, Tuesday night, Saturday morning, whatever, people go out, you know, and visit people and talk about the Lord. There's nothing wrong with those things. As a matter of fact, they're good. But for this one thing, oftentimes what happens to good people who can sow the seed of the Word of God, they go out on visitation for an hour or two sometime during the week, and they say, that does it. Well, there's 168 hours in the week, 168 hours in the week, and they say, you know, I put in my 2 hours. Listen, every time you go anywhere, you should be going forth with the purpose of sowing. Sowing the seed of the Word of God should be preeminent in your mind. Jesus Christ said to his disciples in John chapter 4, he said, lift up your eyes. You and I, listen, we need to look around us. You know, we see the pretty trees and we see the pretty flowers and we see the traffic and we see the billboards and we see the idiots and the crazy people driving in their cars and yeah, all the stuff that we do. We see people fishing, and we see pedestrians, and we're thinking about what we're hearing on the radio or the book we're listening to on audio or the music we're listening to on the radio. And the Lord says, listen. In John chapter 4, verse 35, Jesus Christ says, say not ye there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit into life eternal. That both he that soweth, that's what we're talking about, and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true. One soweth, and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored. How'd they labor? By sowing. And ye are entered into their labors. You go forth. Look around you. In everything else that you see, notice this. The fields are white under harvest, and they will not be harvested if you don't go forth. To reap in joy requires that you sow in tears. To reap in joy requires that you go forth. To reap in joy requires that you bear precious seed. He that goeth forth and weepeth, watch it, bearing precious seed. Well, the precious seed is the Word of God. Now, in the case of a real farmer who's actually trying to grow wheat, he better have good seed. If he plants bad seed, he's going to have a bad crop. So he takes good seed. Well, we know we have the best seed that could possibly be sown in the Lord's harvest. We have the Word of God. Mark chapter 4, Jesus Christ gives a parable of a sower and the seed. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 4, verse 14, the sower soweth the word. So that's what we do. We bear precious seed. Listen, when we go out and we're talking to people about things concerning the Lord, we're not sowing catchy phrases, although there are some men that have come up with some really catchy phrases. We're not sowing anecdotes, although there are some men that have come up with some great sayings about Jesus Christ, about the Bible, about eternal life, but that's not what we're sowing. We are sowing the words of God. So you know what? He said, he that goeth forth, watch it, and weepeth, bearing precious seed. Then you must always bear precious seed. Carry tracts. Carry tracts. Tracts. Tracts, little Bible pamphlets. Pamphlets that have the Word of God in them, or arranged and organized, so when somebody reads those key verses, they understand how, why they need to be saved and how to be saved. Carry tracts and give them out wherever you go. Now, I've done that. I've done that for years, 30 years. But let me just tell you, we have to be conscious every day. Just yesterday, I got ready to leave, and I checked my pocket because I always put, you know, like a pen. I put a little pouch of vitamins in my shirt pocket. I reached over there, and I said, you know what? I don't have my Bible tracts. But I remembered that I had some on the console of the truck, so I went out to the truck, and I put those Bible tracts in my pocket, some that, you know, have information about the church and how to be saved, and then some that are specific to a story. I put them in my pocket with the intention that I would give out a tract where I was. So I went and met a fellow for lunch, and we sat down, and I left the tip on the table with the intention, I always do this, but I didn't that day, of giving that tract out. He and I were visiting, carrying on a big conversation that continued right out the door. He went to his truck. I went to my truck, got in, started up, looked down, and there are those tracks on the console reminding me that I had tracks in my pocket. And the waitress that waited on us was one that I'd never been able to give a track to. And it came to my mind, you know what, I should have left a track there. Well, I started up the truck and started toward the exit. I wheeled that truck right back around, parked in a parking slot, got out and walked back into the restaurant. And I was heading back over to the table to see if the tip that I'd left there was still there, if she'd, you know, bust the table, and then I would try to find her. And, you know, and behold, as I was walking toward that table, poof, there she was. I mean, she walked right across my path. And the thought struck me right then, you know what? The Lord really wanted me to give her this tract. I mean, in this particular restaurant, oftentimes you don't see the waitress that's helping you, but maybe once, maybe twice during the meal. I mean, zoop, we crossed paths. And I thought to myself, well, the Lord sure worked this out. And I reached in my pocket and I gave her the tracts that I was going to give her. And I told her, I said, you know what, read those. They're really good. They're from the Bible. And she thanked me. Sowing the seed of the Word of God. Take those tracts with you and give them out. The Lord wants them out. Carry your New Testament so that you can open it and give the words of God to anyone at any time. Listen, I carry a New Testament with me, and there are many times at a time when I didn't expect it. Somebody asked a question, needed help, and I said, you know what, I've got a Bible right here. Can I show you? And we open it up, and they see right there from the scripture. I was flying on a plane one time next to an attorney whose children had gone to youth camp and came back professing to be saved. This attorney was not raised in a church where anybody ever talked about being born again or being saved. And so she was really, she really liked that her children were happy, but she didn't know anything about it. And so I just said to her, listen, I said, how would you like me to open the Bible and show you from the scripture what it means to be born again so that when you talk with your children, you'll understand, probably even more than they will, what they're talking about. And she said, oh, I'd love that. Open up the Bible and went through the whole thing with her. You know why we could do that? We had a New Testament. I'll tell you something else. Memorize scripture. You say, why? That way, you never know when you're going to have the opportunity quickly to give somebody something from the Word of God that is timely and right to the point. And if you memorize that scripture, sometimes you can look at them and say, well, you know, the Bible says, and like that. I'll tell you what, I have watched people perk up their ears and say, would you repeat that? I've never heard that before. And say it again, and they'll say, you know what? I'm telling you, that makes perfect sense. And the Lord is sowing seed. Couldn't have done it if the verse hadn't been memorized. The time didn't afford opening the Bible or giving them a tract. It was one of those in-passing deals. To reap in joy requires that you sow in tears. To reap in joy requires that you go forth. To reap in joy requires that you bear precious seed. Bear precious seed. But then there's something else. To reap in joy requires that you sow in faith. Psalm 126. Look at verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, watch it, shall, here's the key word, doubtless come again. Doubtless. Doubtless come again. The first says doubtless. So when you sow in faith. Since sowing is work, and lacks the joy of reaping, people have a tendency to give up after a little while because they don't see anything happening. They're kind of like, well, I don't want to keep doing this. You know, there's nothing to it. However, listen, when you sow in faith, then there's hope. When you sow in faith, then there is assurance that God is pleased. When you sow in faith, there is the assurance that God is going to do something with that word that has been sown. It's what Isaiah chapter 55 says. Isaiah chapter 55 compares rain coming down to the sowing of the word of God. Look at this. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither. In other words, the rain doesn't just go down and come right back up, or the snow go down and return right back up. It waters the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So when God uses you and me to sow the seed of the Word of God, He's pleased, and He accomplishes something with it. And He sends it, and He makes it prosper. Now, you know something? When you realize, doubtless, come again, you can sow in faith. Listen, doubt is what kills faith. Doubt kills faith. He tells us in James chapter 1 that when we lack faith, we're to ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But he says in James chapter 1, verse 6, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. In Mark chapter 11, after Jesus Christ had cursed the fig tree and his disciples were shocked that it was withered so soon, he told them, he said, hey, it takes faith. It takes faith. He says that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And then Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So faith is the key here. Faith encourages sowing. Doubt defeats your desire to sow. But if you sow in faith, you have no reason to doubt. Why? Because God is going to do something with his word. Oh, it'll keep you in the field. To reap in joy requires that you sow in tears, requires that you go forth, requires that you bear precious seed, requires that you sow in faith. But to reap in joy requires that you work through the harvest. You work through the harvest. Look at Psalm 126, verse 6 again. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. There's that joy. Bringing his sheaves with him. All right, he says, come again, and then he says, his sheaves. You know what? Those sheaves are not seed. He sowed precious seed. He's coming back with his sheaves. In other words, this guy doesn't leave the harvest. He keeps working in the harvest until the grain appears, and he keeps working in the harvest until the sheaves are harvested. Now, too many people do a little work in the harvest, and then they quit. I mean, there are many people who testify that they used to pass out tracts. They'll see my tract, and they'll say, I used to do that. There are many people that go on visitation, or used to. There are many people who used to witness, but they stopped. Don't stop. Work through the harvest. Listen, by working through the harvest, returning where you have sown seed, going back to water, going back to cultivate, you're going to get an opportunity to reap. And in reaping, you're going to experience your joy. In reaping, you're going to experience the joy of your labors. Build some relationships with the people with whom you have sown seed. Stay with the work. Some of them are going to get saved. I was talking to a friend of mine, and he's an avid soul winner. He's an avid sower of the seed. He does a lot of door knocking. He visits with a lot of people. And he said, man, he said, it's tough in this city to see people saved. I've gone from house to house to house to house to house. I said, you know what? You need to go back to some of those houses you've already visited and build relationships with people that you where you've sown some seed, and go back and water, and go back and cultivate, and go back and work where God has done something. But why? Because when you do, some of those folks are going to get saved. You work through the harvest. Now, you're going to reap in joy when you do that. But that's not all. One more thing in the text. To reap in joy requires not only that you work through the harvest, but that you return with your sheaves. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The key word here is with. So much soul winning is about winning them. That's why I don't like to use the phrase soul winning, because it's about winning him, and then that's it. It's not about discipling them. Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 12, when he's praying to his Father, here's what he said. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. Of course, except for Judas Iscariot. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. Jesus Christ worked with them and kept the following, you understand? Listen, if you and I are going to return with our sheaves, then number one, we must be certain they're getting saved. People that go soul winning, they'll say, yeah, well, I got a profession of faith out of the guy, but I don't know whether he got saved or not. That's all between him and God. Well, if you plant some grain and the thing comes up and it sprouts and it makes a head and it's got grain that you can harvest, do you sit there and go, now, I don't know whether that seed came up, sprouted, and gave us a head to cut down or not? No, of course not. You look at it and you say, I see for sure there that we've borne fruit with the seed that was sown. See, that soul winning is such shallow work. People can come away and all they can say is, well, we got a profession of faith out of seven people. Well, what did you do? But if you go in there with the idea that I'm going to sow in tears, I'm going to sow in faith and work through that harvest, you won't have any doubt about it. You'll see. You'll see. So number one, you got to be sure they're getting saved. But number two, you got to disciple them so that they will grow and remain. How can you bring the sheaves with you if all you've done is, you know, talk to somebody, Joe Blow over there, and just left him to himself, whether he got saved? When the 3,000 people were saved in Acts chapter 2, they were added to the church. The point is, we must do a better job of keeping the sheep in the fold. I had a friend of mine in his church would report 5,000 souls saved 1 year and 434 baptized. 5,000 souls saved the next year and 300 and some odd baptized. Church never grew. That's 10,000 souls out there, presumably, that got saved. Not a dent in the church. You know what the problem was? Everybody wanted to go soul winning. Nobody wanted to go discipling. And you got to bring the sheaves with him. Jesus Christ, those that thou gavest me, I have kept. You can't do that unless you disciple them, unless you work with them and help them to grow. Now, the beauty of discipleship, I'll just say this. You want to be effective and reap in joy and sowing. If you disciple somebody properly, they'll reproduce. And if you get another one and he disciples and he reproduces, and another one and he disciples and he reproduces, now there's four of you working in the harvest, whereas there was one before. The harvest is going to grow. And the joy is going to increase. The joy in the presence of the angels of God is going to increase as these men and women are doing the work by multiplication. Now you're going to reap in joy if you follow everything that the psalmist said in Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. Sow in tears. It's hard work. It's tearful work. Do it. Go forth, remember, every day to sow. Bear precious seed. Take it with you. Sow in faith. Don't let doubt kill your desire. Work through the harvest so you can return with your sheaves. Amen. Pray God will bless you as you do this work.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.